من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا بالقاسم محمد. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، ولعنة الله الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي عبد الله الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام. If you can recall the discussion that we started yesterday and the place where we left it, we had come to the fact that miracles are there to verify the validity of the one who has performed the miracle, and that the miracle has to be in accordance with the learning of the people of the time and has to be beyond it, so that the miracle is appreciated. And we gave that silly example that if Moses, instead of bringing a staff, would have brought a laptop, the magicians would not have been convinced due to their inability to appreciate the miracle. At the time of the Prophet, we said, the human mind of the human community had arrived to a stage where it could understand abstract ideas. The Arabs excelled at eloquency, and hence the miracle was of an eloquent nature. What we want to elaborate today on is that the Quran is not merely a miracle in its eloquency, but it is an ever-living miracle. And hence there is something beyond its eloquency, interwoven within the fabric of the Qur'an together with the eloquency of the Qur'an. But before arriving at that, the nature of the Qur'an itself, it is the communication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah in this Qur'an will communicate to us the secrets of the heavens and the earth from the beginning till the end. And Allah, who is in a timeless zone, if you think of Allah, Adam is being created right now. For Allah, Adam is dying right now. For Allah, Adam is in his grave right now. For Allah, me and you are standing in front of him on the day of Qiyamah right now. There is no time for Allah. This Allah is going to communicate to us the secrets of the heavens and the earth. وَمَا مِنْ رَتْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. There is nothing that is wet nor dry, but that it is within the open book. Tell me, when one of you does their doctorates on one particular issue, let us say the diode or one of the aspects of a diode, you would write 80,000 words in your thesis, wouldn't you, in order to convey your understanding, which is unique, unthought of before this day. 80,000 words. And Allah is conveying the secrets of the heavens and the earth in that one little Quran. The prophetic narration, khairul kalam ma qalla wa dal, the best of speech is that which is concise and most indicative. Now the weight of this Quran is such Once Imam Khomeini, in one of his lectures, he said, it is not sufficient to have the staff of Musa today. You need the hand of Musa to pull it. To have the staff of Musa, the Asa, is not sufficient. You need Musa himself to throw it. The weight of the Qur'an was such that Allah says, وَنْزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَعَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَسَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ. That's how we reveal this Qur'an upon a mountain, you would have seen it trembling and crumbling from the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From here we can understand the caliber of the Blessed Prophet before we progress into the actual topic. Look at this beautiful medium known as Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This medium is untouched by any human learning or any human hand. Whatever this humble slave of Allah says right now, it will be heard by you all equally, but individually processed by everyone. And then every one of you will interact with it very individually, very differently. Let us elaborate further. A young man who has just gotten engaged, he sits here. The heat doesn't bother him. Me speaking for 2 hours doesn't bother him. He will just say, Subhanallah, Mawlana. Because he is in the thought of his Layla. Somebody else whose business has just suffered, every minute is like a year for him to sit here. Somebody who is hungry, he hears it very differently. Someone who has come with a satiated belly, wants to doze off and sleep, and doesn't mind how long the Mawlana may read for. All of us, when we receive information, we interact with it very differently. And then, if the same passage that is read to us, if we read it again, will have a different quality. If me, with a full stomach, were to sit here and talk about the rights of people who don't have food, it will not mean anything, because I myself have a full stomach. You need a hungry man to talk about hungry, poor people, so they can understand the pain and give the pain. Look at this beautiful medium known as Rasulullah, untouched by any hand. The Jews come to him and they say, Ya Rasulullah, well, of course they didn't say Ya Rasulullah, they said, O Muhammad, tell us, what is your Lord? The Prophet waited. Jibreel came. He said, O Prophet, tell them to go away. The Prophet said to them, go away, come back tomorrow. The Jews went away. They came back the next day. Who is Allah? Jibreel came again. Tell them to go away. The Jews, who had come with an obstinate attitude for the first day, he said, we'll mock at the Prophet. We'll mock at the Prophet of the Muslims. They got a slap on their faces. Go away, come back tomorrow. Now tell me, if somebody is giving a lecture and says, the last line of the lecture, I'll give it to you tomorrow, what will happen to you? If it is a good lecture, that is. Your inquisitiveness will increase. That attitude that I want to reject everything will go away. Now you will come with a more genuine attitude. There is something there. I have to learn something. The Jews went away again. They came back the third day. Go away. They came the fourth day. Now they came with an attitude of learning. They said, what is Allah, O Muhammad? Now calmly they are asking. Jibreel comes. Now look at what happens here. Jibreel in the Masjid al-Nabi says to the Prophet, Qul. Now if you were to ask me a question, and if I were to tell you, say, you will not repeat, say, will you? If I said to you, say, Allah is one, you will say, Allah is one. You will not say, say, would you? But look at this medium Rasulullah. Jibreel says, Qul. Muhammad says, Qul. He does not process anything with his own nafs. His nafs is totally clean, only touched by the hand of Allah. It is as if it is coming from Lawhul Mahfuz into Lawhul Mahfuz of Muhammad and going out. There is no process. There is no information being diluted. It comes with the same strength. And hence it is said that when the Quran was revealed on the Prophet used to tremble. He used to sweat. This is the same Quran. If it was revealed on the heavens and the earth, they would all crumble. This is the heart of Muhammad that can bear it. Now this miracle, and the philosophy of miracles, and there is great things we want to say in the course of the next few days, inshallah. If you look at the nature of the miracles of the previous prophets, you find something. You find that the miracles were subordinate to the message. The miracles came and finished. The message continued. Today, if you were to find the staff of Musa, it would have no meaning. It would be in a museum. It would not make anybody accept the fate of Musa. The staff of Musa was only there to verify the meaning of Torah. And because it was in the wisdom and hikmah of Allah that the message of Musa should be superseded by the message of Isa, Allah only gave him a miracle that would last until that time. So Musa threw his staff and people brought faith in Torah and in Musa. But the miracle was subordinate. The message was other than the miracle. Did you see the miracle? Did you see that? Isa came, revived the dead. That was a miracle. The message was Injil. But the miracle was other than the message. The miracle finished, the message continued, and the message was replaced. But when the Prophet came, the miracle is the Quran, and the message is the Quran. So what that means is that Musa is still standing here and throwing his staff. So long as the Quran is there, that miracle of Allah is there. So therefore, what we are understanding is that the Quran is challenging the human mind at every era, in every generation, towards Islam. He said, I'm a miracle and bring faith in me. How is it a miracle, we ask? If it is a question of eloquency, then let us talk about eloquency. A person goes to the Prophet and he said, Ya Rasulullah, the way Allah talks in the Quran, we shudder, we shake, we fall on our foreheads. When he talks about the narration of Isa ibn Maryam, when Maryam gives birth to Isa, she looks at Isa and she says, Ya laytani mittu qabla hada wa kuntu nasiyan mansiya. If only I would have died before this, then I would have been an entity forgotten about. فَنَادَاهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا. He called out to her from beneath her, أَن لَا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ صَرِيَّا وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا فَقُلِي وَاشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنًا فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي قولي إني نظرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا. And then the one underneath him called out to her, Do not grieve, O mother. Allah has made a sweet river to flow beneath you. Drink from it and pull towards yourself the palm of the date palm. It shall cause ripened date to fall upon you. Now this man says to the Prophet, it's a simple message, but the way Allah explains it, the Arabic in which Allah conveys it, it is unheard of. The people were changing because of this eloquency. There's something important here which we should touch on. When Maryam came back to the Israelites, فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُ. She came with him to her people, carrying him. Now look at the people, how quick we are to judge, and look at the Quran and the intricate meanings of the Quran. The people looked at her without thinking, without asking, saying, Ya Maryam, laqad ji'ti shay'an fariya. Oh Maryam, you have brought a despicable thing about. They were insinuating that Maryam had committed zina. Na'udhu billah. And then look what they say. Ma kanat abuki imra sawin. Your father was not an evil man. Wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. And your mother was not unchaste. And they said, Ya ukhta Harun. Ma kana abuki imra sawin. Wa ma kanat ummuki. And whatever they said. So what did they do? They attacked the brother or sister of Harun. They attacked the father and they attacked the mother. Who says that our father's akhlaq not coming to us? Who says our mother's akhlaq not coming to us? Of course they do. Of course they do. If we are good, our children will inherit this goodness. The eloquence of the Quran. But if the Quran eloquency was the only miracle, then tell me, how many of us appreciate the eloquence of the Quran? How many of us know Arabic? It is no longer a miracle. Is it? It isn't. Even if you look at the Arabs, even the Arabs don't excel that eloquency to that level, that they understand the true eloquency of the Quran. So there has to be something else there to keep it as a miracle. It is the meaning of the Quran that is challenging the intellect of every day about the truth of the Quran. Every one of us here are challenged by this living miracle. It is said in the hadith that the Quran has one apparent meaning and 70 in-depth meanings. Imam Khomeini in his essay of Surah Fatiha says that Allah has diluted the Quran so many times so that we may understand it. Do you not see the way Allah talks to us in a language that we understand? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْعِبَلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do you not see the camel, how it has been created? Look at this camel. It has that long neck, eyes, which can see in sandstorms. A big neck that can see beyond the sand hills. It has a stomach that can store water, and it can go on for days without water. Where? In a desert where there is no water. Tell me. The camel, or the camel created for the sand? Or is it both of them, hand one by one, creating each other for each other and moving on? You know, Khomeini adds, he says, if there wasn't but only one verse, it would have been enough. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. If it wasn't for more than this in the Quran, that Allah is the first, He is the last, He is the apparent, He is the hidden. If it wasn't for this, the Quran would have been completed. Even if it wasn't for more than this, the Quran would still have been completed. But no, the Quran, every word of it, every structure of it, has a wealth of meaning. But this meaning of the Quran cannot be fully realized. And hence we say that the meaning of the Quran is ambiguous, unclear. Why is it unclear? Have a look. That hadith of Imam Ali that you hear, that Imam Ali took Kumail ibn Ziyad and he said, a Dajjal will live in every house and there will be antennas on top of the roof, didn't he? Kumail could not understand. What Dajjal will be in every house? Rasulullah is talking about one Dajjal. He is talking about millions of Dajjal. And what is this antenna? How could Kumail understand? The words of the Imam were ambiguous. Kumail ibn Ziyad could not understand. Why? Because the human mind had to technologically progress before the kalam of the Mawla becomes clear. The ambiguity that we find in the Quran, it's necessary to be there. Because if Quran was clear, cut and simple, it would lose its meaning. But the beauty of the Quran is that every generation understands it in accordance with their own learning. And it's a miracle for every generation in their own learning. The Prophet has said, Al-Quran, yufassar bil-zaman, that the mind of the man, as it evolves through the passage of time, it shall give the exegesis and tafsir of the Quran in accordance with its own time. Tell me, the verse of the Quran that says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْحَيْءٍ, that we have created from water everything that is alive. How could the Arab mind understand this? It is now, or in the last century, 20th century, that scientists concluded that life began from water. Simple organisms, simple cell, DNAs, began their life from water and developed into complex beings. Look at the Quran. It says, as for those who do not believe, we constrict their hearts as if they are ascending a lofty mountain. The Arab in the time of the Prophet had to understand that in accordance with his own understanding. The human mind is such, we want to know. We have to know. No matter what happens, we must know. Without understanding, we have to understand. This is what Allah has created in us. We have to know. And hence Allah is Alim. Allah is the possessor of all knowledge, and hence we want all knowledge. Because we are نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, we are a part of his ruh. The Arab had to understand this verse. But how did the Badu Arab understand it? He understood it in its psychological context, that when you don't believe in anything that can deliver you and relieve us of our sorrows, what happens? We find our world closed in upon us. So metaphorical interpretation would be the constriction of the chest and the breath. Mera koi chara nahi raha. Yes? So the Badu Arab would have interpreted this verse in its psychological meaning. But today you know that when you ascend a mountain, there is a variation in pressure and you can't breathe. And your chest becomes constricted. Look at the beauty of the Quran. It made sense to that Arab, and it makes sense to us. And tomorrow, 1,000 years from now, it will make even greater sense. Look at the Quran when it talks about وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ, every heavenly body, everything rotates in its own sphere. And earth is no exception. The earth was held to be the center of the universe. Today it's nothing more than another object revolving around itself and around something else, and that too is revolving. It was a discovery of the 20th century that the sun rotates in its 12 solar houses. Quran is saying, everything swims in its own orbit. I want to bring you to something very intriguing. The verse that we talked of yesterday. And look at the way this Islamic legal system is based. Allahu Akbar. وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْرَجْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونَ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. In this way, we caused you to come from your mother's wombs, and you did not understand anything. There is a very important message that we have to get through today, sorry. And I know somebody will start coughing because my time is off. And that Malakul Maut is staring at me. وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. And we gave you ears and eyes and heart. Look at the sequence of the Quran. Ears, eyes and heart. When a baby is born, they open their eyes, but they're not looking at us. We think, oh, look at him, he's smiling at me. He doesn't know who you are. Because smile is easy, the baby smiles. Maybe they're looking at the beauty of Allah. Maybe they're observing the beauty of Jibreel. Maybe they're looking at Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. But they're not looking at the father, that's for sure. So the first thing the child does is starts hearing. Why? Look, this is a hole. You can't do anything, it's a hole. Everything goes through it. So what does that prove? That the first communication of the outside world with the mind or the soul, with the soul or the mind or the conscience is through the faculty of hearing. Then they see. So Quran has said, we give you ears and eyes. Look at the sequence of the Quran. We give you ears and eyes, the sequence of the Quran. He's talking about the progress of a child. And then hearts. Heart means to think. Now, I just want to point out very, very quickly something very simple. When does your wudu break? When you sleep. What is sleep? When you stop hearing. Look at this beauty. If I were to shut my eyes and pretend that I'm asleep, would you swear at me? Mari ki bat koi kar sa? Would anybody say this? Molana is bakwas or something. Nobody would say because I might wake up. It is only when my ears stop hearing that you know that my conscience has gone. What was the first connection with the conscience? The hearing. And cutting off of the conscience is the hearing. And hence the wudu breaks with the breaking of the hearing. Look at the beauty of the Quran and look at the way the legal system is based. Even the simple rule of wudu, look at how Allah has based it. Now, the Quran is a challenge. We must objectively look at this Quran. Me and you are not duty bound to say this Quran is true unless it proves itself to us. Has it proved itself to the people of Mecca? Has it proved itself to the non-Muslims who became Muslims? It has to prove itself to the Muslims and they become Muslims again. The Quran is not ashamed of itself. It is throwing a challenge. It appeals to every intellect. We must objectively look at it. Now, our attitude should not be that because it's a miracle, we have to accept it as a miracle. No, see into it. Is it a miracle? And this is what Islam encourages. The use of the intellect and the completion of the human intellect. This is the whole encouragement. Now, one word about objectivity. Western academia advocates objectivity, does it or does it not? And they level criticisms against religions by saying that they are subjective. My brothers, only religion is objective. Islam is the most objective religion. It says, think. إِنَّ فِيخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. In the changing of the day and night, there are signs for people who think. What the West has done is that the secularists, those people who do not believe in God, have taken the banner of objectivity to verify, to prove every matter-based value that they hold as value, and to deny every non-material value which we term as faith and religion. But in reality, it is only religion that advocates objectivity. Think.